So tonight we will be coming to a close on our teaching on, is that really you, Lord God? How to recognize the voice of God. But I want you to pay very good attention in this service. I will be speaking to you as individuals without mentioning your name. So pay very, very good attention. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, we ask the question in this series, is there a unified doctrine? Does the Bible have a unified doctrine? Which means that because we call ourselves New Testament believers, and rightly so. But in saying we're New Testament believers, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says we're able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And we have the word New Covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. We have new creation, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. But I think the idea of a new covenant, sometimes a new creation, could just mean Paul's letters. And so when we get to the Old Testament, we assume that the doctrine in there is quite different. No, it's not. So we've asked, does the Bible have a unified theology? Which means the truth in Genesis through to Malachi is the truth between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course, reading the book of Acts and then the epistles. Now, quick one. Look at Luke's Gospel 24. Are you here? Luke's Gospel 24. And I'm going to read verse 25. This is upon the resurrection of Jesus, you know the story. And he said to them in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Because this is very specific, which means he was rebuking them for not believing in his resurrection. So he points them to the law and the prophets, so that shows you that the truth about his resurrection can be found in Moses and the prophets. But then look at 44. It says, these are the words, okay, which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Now, let me explain fulfilled. If we say fulfilled always has, I think it's a wrong terminology. Sometimes we have the wrong terms. Like I was saying today in a brief class, which I said some time ago as well, that when you have the word help meet, for example, the English translations didn't do a good job. Help meet, the one you have in Genesis 2:18 and 19. It appears like a domestic aid or something like that, but it has quite a wider meaning. I believe that if that was well translated in English, the temptation to tag the wife might have been reduced. Because by the time you see that same word was used for God. Right? And it's used for God most of the time, really. And then the other times was used for, military, aid, and that's all. War, military aid, succor. So such translations sometimes, which is English, might have made us think in English, not necessarily in the right language. So when we say fulfilled, I think a good number of people think fulfilled means if you give a promise, then you did it. That's the first thing that comes to mind. But it couldn't have been like that because you have many instances where the word fulfilled was not referring to a prophecy. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt name his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. That it might be fulfilled, okay, that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, when he says that's Isaiah, and then Isaiah says, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a child, thou shalt call him Emmanuel. Isaiah wasn't talking about Jesus. Isaiah was talking about a child that was born in his own time. Same way, when Mark says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The voice of one. Who? John the Baptist? No, Isaiah wasn't talking about John the Baptist. But John the Baptist fulfills it. Just like Jesus fulfilled what Isaiah said. We can go on and on. That it might be fulfilled. Right? Will be someone's experience in the Old Testament that Jesus takes on. Same way when Jesus was saying, I thirst. You see it in the Psalms. And he's not prophesying. My God, Matthew 27, 46, why have you forsaken me? Definitely, David, in Psalm 22, verse 1 to 2, was not prophesying about the coming of Christ. Was he prophesying? Yes. Was he bringing encouragement and inspiration? Yes. Was he making a promise of God? No. But because God had promised to be man's covenant partner, he takes on those experiences. That's what Jesus did. He's called the Son of David. Even though Solomon is the son of David, who eventually built the temple, all right, and sat upon his throne. But Jesus sits on the throne of David and builds the temple. So fulfilled is not that the promise was made, so you are looking into the Old Testament for promise. Rather, you are looking at something similar. Something similar. When Jesus, for example, spoke in parables, Matthew 13, 34, he said, without a parable did he not speak to the people. He said, that it might be fulfilled, verse 35. That which was spoken by the prophet. I open my mouth, of course, that gives it a Greek translation. I open my mouth and speak in parables, all right, from the beginning of the world. Mysteries, from utter mysteries, from the foundation of the world. Definitely the prophet wasn't talking about Jesus. He was talking about how he would speak. Then it's like what was done before him. Same thing when he said, out of Egypt have I called my son. That's Matthew 2:15. And then you go to Hosea 11:1. And Hosea is not talking about Jesus. He's actually talking about something that happened before. That's Egypt. So fulfilled doesn't mean a promise. It just means you can find this that I'm saying already had been said and done. How Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4, according to the scriptures. It means when you read the scriptures, you will see the pattern. So, if Jesus is saying to us, are you here? Is that clear to you? Luke 24 and 45. 44, sorry. Which was written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. He opened in the understanding that in my understanding. He's not saying you'll see the process concerning me. You will see what I have done is in line with the scriptures. Same way in John 5:45, think not I've come to accuse to the Father. There's one which accuses you already, Moses whom you trust. Have you believed Moses? You'll have believed my words because he spoke of me. Believe me, sorry, because Moses wrote of me. Not that Moses prophesied about me. So this statement by Jesus already shows you how unified the doctrine, the theology of the scriptures are. They are unified. Look at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, when the 120, presumably, when they spoke in tongues in verse 4 and prophesied, and then the crowd came. I would have thought Peter would say, Jesus taught us and said, that looks more like what we thought they will say. But what does he say in verse 16? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He explains it from Joel. Unified theology. It doesn't stop there. In chapter 3, from about verse 19. Through to verse 26. Moses, the prophet, Samuel. In chapter 4, pay attention to this one. When they were harassed and persecuted and threatened, they lifted their voice to God, verse 24, with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, that has made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is them is. Now, of course, when they say that, I've told you that when the Bible writer says heaven and earth and the seas, do not look for signs. That's Bible language. Okay? Seas has what they play, which is they right now are confronting seas. That's basically what he's saying. And then he says here, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? David is not talking to Peter and John. David is speaking about his own reign. Acts, Psalm 2 verse 1 to 5 and to 7. The kings of the earth stood up, and he says, and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the anointed. That's his Christ. Of the truth, against thy holy child Jesus. Which means what he has done is he connects what happened to David to what happened to Jesus and then to the church. That's the word fulfilled. Let's see one more. I skipped that one. Acts 1. Here they're about to replace Judas. In Acts 1. And again, Peter is the one. He stood up, verse 15, in the midst of disciples and said, the number of names about 120. And he said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. It must be fulfilled. Now, he can't be talking about a promise. Because he says here, would the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David speak concerning Judas? How? David and Judas never met. David in his wildest imaginations didn't know who Judas would ever be. But someone like Judas happened to David. So Judas happens. Right? And he says, which was guide to them that took Jesus? For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Acts 1. And this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. A guy actually told me that's real estate. And for an headlong, he burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. It was known to all dwellers in Jerusalem. So he relates a story of today. Then look at 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishop can take. Which means it's likening what is happening here to what happened to David. The same thing happened when Jesus was tempted. Turn the stone to bread. Jesus is, it goes to scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone. Job chapter 8 verse 3. Now, that wasn't said to Jesus. It was said to Israel. Then when he said he had to, jump, he said, shouldn't. Said, for his charge over thee, he goes to Psalm 91. And the devil did know that Psalm 91 wasn't talking about Jesus. But Psalm 91 is to everyone who follow God, obey God, and do his will on earth. And he says, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Someone said to Israel. Jesus fulfills it. Okay? When he says, okay, you know what? Come bow to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world at once. He said, you will not worship any other God. Only, thou shalt serve the Lord your God. Only him would you worship. Job 6 and 13 and Job 6 and 16. It fulfills the scripture, but it's not fulfilling prophecy the way we think. Is that very clear? Which means that these Christians, New Testament, they are students of the Old Testament theology and they act upon it because there's a unified theology within the Old and New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. Now, he's referring to Genesis to Malachi here by saying all scripture. In other words, there's a unified doctrine. Now, the challenge oftentimes is how to interpret it. You know, how to interpret it properly. And I'm not saying interpreting the Old Testament in light of the New. That's another way to wrongly interpret it. Okay? Because when the New Testament writers were writing, or let's say the audience, they were interpreting in light of the New. They actually saw God's new covenant in the Old Testament scriptures. So simple. Having said that, let's move quickly. Obviously, if the New Testament doctrine is the Old Testament doctrine, of course properly read and interpreted, we know that doctrine ought to lead to experiences. So why did God give his word? Why did he give what you call the Torah? T-O-R-A-H. We said Torah is not legalism. Torah is actually wisdom and understanding. Let me show you something again. We studied this before. Look at Romans chapter 4. I'll try to read it from the Septuagint Bible. Romans chapter 4. Look at how Moses describes the law of Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 5. Look, I have shown you the ordinances, and let your read Septuagint Bible. I know you're reading King James. And judgment as the Lord commanded me to do so in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. And you shall keep and do them. Now look at what it says. For this is your wisdom and understanding. It is this is do's and don'ts. Wisdom and understanding before all nations. All who may hear all these ordinances will say, look, this great nation is a wise and prudent people. Verse 7. For what other great nation is there to which a God belongs with near to them like the Lord our God in all where we invoke him? Then he says, what other great nation to which ordinance, righteous judgments belong to it according to all this law which I'm delivering today? So which means it was meant to make them a wise people. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall depart out of your mouth, thou shalt meditate day and night and observe to do all as in therein, then you will make your way prosperous. That is not do's and don'ts and have good success. The word actually means you'll be wise. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, you're blessed if you don't stand in the way of sinners, see the seal of sorrowful, or, in the counsel of the ungodly. Say, but the delight is in the law of the Lord, the same law. In this law, you meditate day and night. If it's just do's and don'ts, what are you meditating upon? Just do. Meditation shows you it's about wisdom, light. So the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple hearted. The entrance of your word gives light, which means the law gave light. It says you'll be like the tree pied by the streams of water. It says your leaves will not wither. You bring forth fruit in your season, and whatever you do, hallelujah, you will prosper. That is not code of conduct. Of course, in anything that gives you wisdom, there'll be caution, right? But that's a lot of light. So they never read the Old Testament that way. He brought experiences. The right experiences. And I recall one of those days where we're speaking about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or call it the properly demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And a guy now said to me, well, because we're talking about it, I said, one of the basic problems is that we've separated the Old Testament and the New Testament. So whenever we see something in the Old Testament, that's the Old Testament. But when the New Testament writer is talking about spiritual things, he's referring to the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So a guy says, well, if this is true, this was the question. He said, this is true, because I showed him the glory of God in the temple. He said, how can you call this God's no longer doing this? Then what is he doing? Then he said, how come we're not seeing it? I said, how would you see something you don't believe? You just told me now that you thought it was gone. And many people do. You have to have faith for it. Then you will see it. You've already said it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. It's not for now. That all God has for us is the written word. Let's go to bed. But when you open the written word, you will see written experiences for those who believe in the written word. Quote me. So, doctrine is meant to produce experiences. Because there has to be, I'm going to act on the word, for example. James 1:22-23. If I'm going to act on the word, action on the word is an action. It produces experiences. So we're looking at discerning the voice of God. So the question is, where does God speak? Where? You know, some people, for example, believe that God will speak in a particular place. And that's what they believe for. And God is not going to deny them if that's what they believe for. They will come, for example, to this place. They call it the altar. You see some churches like that. They will call it the altar. And then they will, I've seen people do it. And I've learned not to mock them. Even though I could really, correct that ignorance. But you see, they say this is the altar. Then they come to the front of the church podium. They believe the man of God's been there, and they would pray there. And they would, and there's an old time practice like that, that people would come kneel just at that place to just show, you know. And God will, don't say God will never speak to you. Says who? He will. But he would prefer that they knew that he didn't have to come. If God was going to use those rules, we're all in trouble. The moment you are ignorant, you're gone. Why am I teaching you if you are not ignorant? If you're not ignorant, we should just say, so what do you think? You say, oh, Mio, what do you think? What do you think, everybody? Like some people who belong to Red Devils. I'm told that somebody from the Middle East wants to buy the club. And I'm wondering, where is the help ever going to come from? You lift your eyes to the east. From where's coming your help? But the person I said, I know you follow Real Madrid. God will use that to compensate you. But what you are celebrating here doesn't make sense. When the devil is out, they're out. Maybe this is the season of me talking about Man United. I think I'm being led more in that direction. That other people, they are not, when you are down, you are down. Those ones are down. I don't even want to mention their names. They are totally down. How did I even get here now? So you don't say God can't talk to the person. What do you mean by that? People go, but you know, there's growth in knowledge, right? But God can't talk to the person. No, he will. So some people really, you know, that's the level of their thinking. But the word of God will correct that. So where does he speak? You know, where does he speak? The question is, where is he? Now, last week, we saw Acts 17, where Paul says he is not far from every one of us. He is not far from every one of us. There are things I want to teach now, but it's going to take me some years. He is not far from every one of us. You know, there's a way we can almost think that he's talking to the church. No, he's talking to everybody. He's not far. Acts 17 and verse 27. And we show the word makron, which means there is no distance from every one of us. It is, he wants us to seek him that we can touch him. And I showed you that word. It means something you can reach out to within your reach. So that's a fact. He's not far from every one of us. Why is God everywhere? Have you thought about it? Because the earth is his. Imagine somebody saying, you can't come to a place. I say, why? Because we don't like you. But I own the place. Doesn't matter. We don't like you. So the fact that people are worshiping an idol somewhere does not mean that God is not there. He owns the idol. Whether the figurine or the real being, the real being. Do you understand? So take that away from your mind. Okay? He's everywhere. Okay? So that's a fact because the earth is his. So, but let's be specific. Where can we find his voice? Now, this doesn't mean he can't speak any other place, but Genesis chapter 3, you have, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, he spoke all the time. But in Genesis chapter 2, we find him speaking in verse 18. The Lord God said, 16, the Lord God commanded, 18, the Lord God said. Then Adam said, verse 23, then the serpent said, chapter 3 verse 1, then the serpent, then the man, and all that. But look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. Somehow, the writer here walks on our mind. Because they use a lot of expressions. That, you see, if you take it literally, you're going to lose what he's saying. It's just like saying, the Lord speaking to the serpent and say, you will crawl, you know, on your belly all days of your life in dust. And you wonder, excuse me? I thought snakes normally crawl. Say, yeah, that's because they were cursed. The lion became wild after the sin of Adam. Keep talking. Because the thing is, by showing he will crawl on the, it means that it was a being in the heavenlies. So that's what they want you to see. The moment you think it's a zoo, you're gone. Game over. You don't get what it's talking about. So by using the voice, which is very, I mean, it's an imagery that you must capture. The word call, sound. So by saying they heard a sound. And we saw it last week that it's the same way a human being talks and hear. It's not a sign language. It's not a, it's something real clear. Call, a sound. The voice of the Lord God, which shows it's visible, right, is visible. Let me read the Septuagint for you. They heard the sound. Boom. You know, that's definite, right? Some of you can hear the sound of the Lord God walking. So, by saying walking, pay attention to that word. Walking in Hebrew actually means walking about, an interactive walk. The sound. So that sound is interactive. It's walking about in the cool of the day. The word cool is the word spirit, right? So alak, which is the word walk, means it's a tabernacle where he lives. So where you walk about, interact, is where he lives, is a home. So God speaks and you hear him clearly where he lives. So the garden is a tabernacle. So that's where he lives. Where he, shall I say, where he's domiciled, not necessarily his house now, but where he's domiciled, where he works. Okay? Where he works. So, in the four gospels, Jesus told us he's going to make his home with us. John 14. He's going to make his home. Like I said on Sunday, you know, if people just read John 2 to John 14, that concept of my father's house, there are many mansions, when you die, you go and will have totally been taken out. Because in John 2:19, or sorry, 16, Jesus, in the temple, John's Gospel 2, take these things and make not my Father's house. He calls the temple his Father's house. Okay? And of course, when they said the zeal of the Father's house has consumed him, which is in verse 17, that is from David speaking about the temple. Psalm 69, verse 9 and 17. So when he says my Father's house, destroy this temple, 3 days I'll raise it again. He said that in verse 19. So if you read that as the Father's house, then you get to John 14, and he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I told you that the word he uses here is quite a very strange word, mone, a dwelling place, where you dwell, and not just dwell, actually, it's used for where you dwell and carry on your activities. So where you dwell and carry on your activities, so we could just say, in the temple there are many mansions. And why does he use many mansions? Again, it goes back to what happened in Noah. Rooms were created. What happened in the tabernacle that Moses made? Rooms were created at the temple that Solomon built. So that's the same language, okay? There are many spaces. Then it says, I prepare a place for you. Where I am, you'll be also. So, in John 14, it tells you the how. 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the word Paracletos, that he may abide, abiding word, abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knows him. Now, so that's a challenge with the world. They can't see, they don't know. Not that God is not near. But you know him for what? So we have two abiding words. He will abide with you, for he dwells with and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I come to you. For a little while that the world sees me no more, but you see me because I leave you, shall you leave also. That you know I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. There's nothing here that talks about when you die. Then he says in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he that loveth me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, manifest myself to him. Then in verse 23, if a man, let's say 23 together, if a man love me, he will keep my words, my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode. We'll make our abode with him. And when Jesus was on the cross, and one of the malefactors, criminals, says, Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom. He said to him, today I say to you, you will be with me in the garden. That's what he said to him. Paradise, the garden. So Jesus obviously here has fulfilled the Garden of Eden again. He's the one walking in the garden. So I'll come again to you. Where I am, there you'll be also. So the indwelling of the Spirit shows us that we are at home with God. He's at home with us. And if we're at home with him, his voice is walking in his home. His voice is walking in his home, which you said earlier is interactive and relational. The New Testament writer picks on it and says to the entire church, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's like saying you are the garden together. Then it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body, interesting, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Again, it's saying your body is like that. Ephesians 1:13 says in 14 that you are sealed with the Spirit. Same as 2 Corinthians 1:22. Again, you have the earnest, the guarantee, the Spirit. So the Spirit is in Genesis 3:8, tabernacle. The Spirit is in Genesis 3:8, and now is in the believer. And among us. So we cannot be hiding from God's voice. We must heed it. God speaks to us. The moment I affirm that I am the temple of God, let's say I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, I affirm therefore that God interacts here. He relates here. That means I am receptive to his voice. Recall what Adam did. What did Adam do? I heard your voice and I heed. Okay? And he says, if I am his temple, my body is, then, I therefore should know that the voice of God is available all the time. You know, Adam didn't pray for God to speak. He said, okay, we want to talk here for God. Then the voice of God came. No. It's his tabernacle. Say, I'm his tabernacle. When you say that, what are you saying? You are saying that he speaks here. I am his tabernacle. It becomes so odd when you say, I don't know whether God speaks to me. Then the same breath you say, I'm his tabernacle. You are confused. His tabernacle is not your tabernacle. It's his own. And he is at home in his house. Or in his home. It's his home. It's his home. And I know many of us like that. We won't talk outside. When we get home, we just shut the door. Now, maybe somebody has harassed you, you just running home. When you get home, just shut the gate and invite you, come inside. You see? Because you are now at home. And that's the same thing. You are home, you just are relaxed. You know, I've not seen anybody, you know, wear tie and suit in the morning. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying at home throughout the day and wear tie and suit. And you know, sometimes people are very careless because we're at home. You don't get home, you know, and then you do make a while going, nowhere, I feel at home, you know, and all that. Sometimes if you want to know how people smell, go home. I remember we used to do retreats back then, not here, you know, at the Youth Foundation's ministry. And some very, an uncle had a very, very interesting habit. He will wake us up at the time that you had not even done your devotion. So everybody comes out at the same time. You dance even differently, eh? Sister. So everybody knows the way they are. And see, one of the reasons why he does that is so that in case you are hiring anybody, you'll have had a foreknowledge. You know, beatings of the heart, I believe. No matter what you yell in the morning. If sometimes you emit some glory from your mouth at home, everybody knows that. You can't always be speak and span at home. At some point they will see you and say, oh, because you're at home. Now, God doesn't have all those stuff, right? But he's at home. He's at home with us, amen. Don't hear that only from the point of knowledge. Let it produce the experiences. He's at home in us. He's at home with us. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, I'll probably just read the Septuagint of that. Genesis 6 and 3. My breath, that's the word spirit, will certainly not reside in these humans for very long because they are always flesh. So, which means that he intends that he should reside. So Jesus fulfills that by saying, abide with you forever. So that's why Paul will, and I will just read that too. He will say to the church, because some of these truths can easily be bypassed. When Martin Luther said years back that I teach my people justification by faith every week because every week they forget it. When you are a pastor, you see the reality. People forget things. I remember one of my friends did say this then. He said, why would we forget things? He said, we spend just 1 hour, 2 hours in church, maybe 2 hours. We hear the word. By the time you step out, you have seen newspapers. In fact, if you are not careful, somebody from the church will bring newspapers. You have, So 2 hours, you're on that one. You're in the car. You get back to your room or to your house. You're talking about something else. You go and watch one football. So a lot of things have already come into your mind. You're not like into one room just feeding on the word of God. You can't do that because you have to practice it anyway. So you're in there. So you might just think that you know something at the back of your mind, but it's not the dominant information. So other things have come in. So he said, that is the reason why we must put pressure on the word. Hear it all the time, even in the midst of anything we have. So we have Paul, when he says here, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not. Now, he's not saying that they don't know. These are basic things that he taught them. Know ye not is like a jerk. Just say, hey, what's going on? Wake up call. Hey, do I have to tell you this thing again? Know ye not. Don't you know this? You've heard this again and again. That your body is the temple of God. Or you are, sorry, the temple of God. In chapter 6, when brethren had forgotten who they were in Christ, he said to them, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, again, be any of you, verse 1, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, do not, and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Verse 3, know ye not that you shall judge angels? He's not telling them afresh. You don't teach anybody Bible doctrine by saying, know ye not. Imagine if somebody in your first class says, know ye not. What's going on? Know ye not is like a reminder. Now, if Paul could do this, you and I can remind, can forget. Now, you see, the forgetting is not that you don't even know it, that you can say it, but it's not reflecting in their actions. It's not in their experiences. They'll still come and say, oh, you pastor, Some people tell you, I know the Bible says, but sir. In the same light. I know the Bible says, but sir. There was one book I saw on deliverance. I'm not the kind of person that will go further. The first statement in that book was deliverance. It was about deliverance. The man quoted Colossians 1:13. First text. It was a popular book. Then he said, Colossians, who has delivered from power of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of their son. Then he says, we know the Bible says we are delivered, but the first page, I don't know what is after. I didn't read anything, but what? So I just closed the book. I gave it to the person. Thank you. What am I reading again? So I said, but find out. We know the Bible says, no matter who you are, who knows? The people who think that. Someone even said to me, can I think he wrote the book, Triumphant Church? He said, Brother Egan is dealing with demons in America. Let him come to Africa and see. And the guy was a word person. I said, that's serious. So he's Africa. I said, well, is righteousness African too? He said, no, that one is different. I said, what is different? You are just superstitious. That's all. And by the way, how many demons have you even cast out? So know ye not, don't think that this is about Corinthians. It's about all of us. We can forget easily. I know when the rubber meets the road and the pressures of life come, sometimes the last thing you're thinking about is the word. It's that dominant information on your mind. But the truth is that we are his house. Amen. And it reminds them other things again, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Imagine. Verse 16, know you not that which is joined to another is one body? Then he says, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Say, my body? A member of Christ. So that means I belong to Jesus in my physical body. That's how close it is. So, if this is his tabernacle, then that Eden fact is here. The tabernacle. The tabernacle of God is with us. So there are two things he pushes here. He talks about the fact that together we are his temple. 2 Corinthians 6:16, you can add that too. But when you go to 1 Corinthians 4:14, and it says if the unbelieving should come, look, this is what it says, and then you prophesy. Then it says, then the secret of his heart is made manifest. He will fall down, right, on his face. And he says he will report that God is in you of a truth. Now that is 1 Corinthians 3:16. If we are conscious of it, this is what we're going to see. If we know it, if we practice it, we're going to see this. Now, that means, now, if you have a table, you just put 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:1 to 3, that's in the same table. Then you have 2 Corinthians 6:16. Then you now go into 1 Corinthians 14:24 to 25, eventually 26. Then it all says, again, 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Of course, you use the word gifts there, and you use every man. So you move 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 7, maybe to 12. Then you put it alongside 1 Corinthians 6:19. So together, we are his temple. All right? Individually, we are called his temple. So we are, we have access to his voice. We have access to his voice. In Matthew 18:20, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So settle that in your mind about hearing from God. A good local church helps you to find it. You know, you find it. So when we teach like this, it's so that you could find it. It's not for you to ask for it. No, it's already given because you are his tabernacle. It's to find it. And in finding it, is to recognize it. So what knowledge does, it makes you recognize it. So I recognize the voice of God. So let's put it like this. God speaks in his house. God speaks among his children. Have that simple truth. No matter what you are going to teach, it must explain this simple fact. He speaks in his house. He speaks amongst his people, or call it his children. So that's the first thing. You really, it's not a teaching that makes him talk to you. It's not after you have learnt it. God didn't start leading you when you listen to the Spirit. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. No. The teaching makes you recognize it. The teaching makes you discover it. The way I normally say it is like when you talk about the resources of the earth, maybe oil or gas. What has happened is it's not the exploration that put it there. The exploration, all the data analysis, all the geophysical survey, electromagnetic survey, the kind of methods you use, all the things you do. It's just find out what has already been there. So the teaching of the word of God, like we're doing tonight, sometimes what happens to you, just say, oh, that was God. Even the past experience. Like we said last week, you can know the voice of God by, can you remember, insight, foresight. Sometimes you just say, oh, that was the Lord, hindsight. Now the hindsight one, the way that works is that, you know, he will be, I won't use the word hidden, he will be in the midst of your experiences and guiding you, such that he will disclose things to you gradually. There are things, and I remember this is my own personal life, and I probably should talk about this in another way. And about what, last week I was in a meeting when, Pastor Ladley mentioned something, and I think when he said that, my experience just came back to me. He said we were in a camp meeting. Usually I used to do this a lot. He would go through our notes, what we're writing, and we used to write different things. What is preaching about love? You don't call your, you say, what I'm hearing that my ministry is going to focus on the love of God. You know, we did have those days. So he said, so when he said that, I remember when I was writing about ministry, my life, so I had this particular diary. It was a red diary. Yeah. So I would write, you know, this year, that year. You know, sometimes you think that it's God talking to you. You write this one, that one, and say, I'm going to tell you that I know the plan of God. Have it in this book. So you just, it's Shakara. It was, I have it here. So, the way God talks to me, they open one diary like that. Oga, it's meditation that's wrong with you. I'm just thinking, you know. And so the thing that God can sit to you and say, I give you all my plan. I give you all my, you know. Why? If Jesus said, I'll show him things he suffered for my sake. And Paul seeing Jesus appear to him and say, don't worry, there are people. They were going to one place in Acts 16. They had already paid for the flight. They are paid for the venue. They were going. He said, the Holy Spirit forbid them. They tried to announce the Holy Spirit. Tell the person God said everything before him. That idea of Jesus sitting with Paul and saying, all right, Paul, you know you're a special messenger. All right. Start taking notes. You know, don't use phone Bible. Just write it. I say, take your notes. Sorry, I got that Greek word wrong. Take it out. Yes. You know, that's nonsense. That's not true. So, you know, so I write those things and I put it down. And it was because I was just following influence. I saw somebody do it. So I just felt if God really was working with you, you should be able to have a book where you're writing dates, years, I'll do this, and all that, I'll put them down. So one day, I was going from Lagos to Ibadan. I'm sure it's 95. It's not 6, it's 5 or 4. So I put money in a bag, a traveling bag as we call it, a green traveling bag. And I put the diary there. That diary, I think I'm very good at the Bible. I'd written things there and all that. So when I got to Ibadan, I just used the diary again. In the bag. And I left the money. I'm convinced it's God. No, I'm not joking. The money was there. I mean, who would go into someone's bag and take a diary? I don't even think he was a thief. At least not from Lagos. So I'm convinced. And the moment I saw that bag and the diary was gone, I just had a relief. You know? I was like an idol was gone. Now, let's be led. That's what I said. That start to be led now. That book was leading you. So, you know, who was saying last week that there was one of my friends too, who had that kind of notes. He will write, and he was a person that I was copying. He said, when I saw what he wrote, he had never told me before. He said, I said, ha! I can't disclose it here because it has something. I said, that's true. I just writing ambition. I look for a ministry staff for 4 years. When I'm done, I'm sure I get some knowledge from this ministry. After 6 years, then I'll start this church, Word in Christ Jesus Mission International Christian Center. Then our TV program will, next 2 years, Bible on tape. Review Bible telecast. Then when I'm done there, we now launch this one. Now, write my first book is going to be Salvation Now and Now. You are just following an influence. And when you people talk like that, you discover that there will be no evidence that God is leading them in their private life. It's all about events and all that. So be careful all those people. There was someone that told me she had one diary. I said, let's come and see. She said, I must see it. So we went to see the diary. And I said, she was looking at me, shy. This one, this is not God. Ugo Bobimbo Wobi. Bobimbo's name is here. What's he doing here? I saw my name there too. I just took the diary. This is a demon. What are you doing with this? You know? Was pouring out emotions there. Saying, God said. There was one that the pastor told me. I was with the pastor this morning. You know, go more sure then. That one just sat down in one room was writing. The pastor said, America, let me see how he said it. I'll say it to you by saying this, yeah. Now we are not supernatural, we are into trouble because they used to do supernatural a lot in that ministry. He said, So you teachers will help us. Now called me and my friend Larry Amuso. He said, Bishop, you guys come and help us. Because the third part we used to teach you, but it's almost the same thing. So we now went to the lady. She said, sir, I have this experience. I was looking at her like this. She said, don't you believe me? I said, can't you see I don't? She said, sir. You know, I said, my friend just said, come. Share any scripture with me. He was worse. Pastor Larry then was my, who's called bishop, he was worse. He's gone below now. He said, share any scripture. I know that God talks to you. Say anyone, say John 3:16, share anyone. The guy hook. The sister. You know, I know that. You know. Can you see that God, it's not God that has been talking to you. He said God is talking to you, share scripture. You don't know. How do you know it's not the devil? I just took the book. We now went somewhere near Womo, she was the hostel. I said, with your hand. Yeah, put petrol. We use kerosene. Yeah. Morning. I said, come. So are you feel the Holy Ghost? Say, yes. That's how you feel the Holy Ghost. Say, in our dream. So, eh? I said, this is my first time saying this whole story because it's why. The person now is a pastor. So, and I said, come on, speak in that tongue. My friend said, what do you want to hear? Everyone wants to say, like, not born again, no. Somebody that I got saved. I said, she's speaking in tongues before I got, I said, what tongue? And I gave up and I said, Masima, I said, madam, that's preservation tongues. When you are coming tomorrow for fellowship, empty your mouth. So when we are taught the word of God, it's not to make God do it. It's you now look at hindsight. And I say, I can see. Like I could look back and say, okay, that was the Lord. I can see it. You know? I know in instances today where I know God told me to do something and the people, in fact, there's a particular fellowship, I keep saying, I told the pastor 4 or 5 years ago, I said, this particular year, I mentioned the year. I said, when I came to you, I said, I knew that God wanted me to pastor that particular ministry. The guy said, people told me things about you. I said, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that was the will of God. I said, no, I'm not saying it because I mean, it's not like I wanted to use the mission. I was sure. She said, someone said something, and somebody had actually prophesied. Somebody even came up and said, hey, boy. So I said, hey, what happened? Somebody told him something, then he went to the flesh. So things like that can be thwarted. You know? And people can yield to the flesh. You know, that's, we'll talk about that later. So anyway. The voice of God is available to us all the time. When we hear the word of God like this, what it does clarifies things for you. This is not what makes God talk to you. Is that clear? This is what makes you recognize it. You are always led by God's Spirit. Always. He does not talk to you all the time. Because you are His tabernacle. Are you here? So, the first thing we said the other thing was the voice of God is familiar, right? Right? And you know, we have to debunk the, I'm the Lord thy God. Yeah, just, it's familiar. That is why he could use Samuel's voice. I mean, Eli's voice to speak to Samuel. It was so distinct that he thought it was Eli calling him. So the writer of Genesis could say a sound, a familiar sound. You know the sound. You know the sound. And as you keep hearing God's word now, what I believe God for is that things just become clearer to you. Sometimes the sound could come through somebody else. Because you are born of God, you recognize it straight away. Oh, that's God speaking to you. In fact, if some pastors can be smart, there are times as a pastor, just listen to those, of course, those you trust, their leadership with you, and you're praying about something, and you're listening to them. They will even know that's what happened. You say, Pastor, I think, of course, smart people will tell their pastor, God told me. Those are manipulative people. You'll say, Pastor, I think, from what I'm sensing, I'm thinking, what if you do? And you're looking like this. And you're just saying, because you are human too. And many times you need God to use someone that is not you. Brother Hagin even said this years back. He said, when it comes to the work of a ministry, that a pastor should just learn to, okay, let's pray together over this. Of course, trusted hands and let's pray together. That, you know, and even when it comes to your personal life, sometimes because you know you too, you can be your best. You can just be, you know, into yourself. There could be, you should have people around you, a good local church, that when you are there, it clarifies things for you immediately. So it's like the voice of a man. You know? Look at the case of Elijah. He said, you know, he saw the earthquake, he saw the fire, the wind, but the Lord was not there till a still small voice. But the critical thing was that he knew that was not the Lord. It wasn't that he followed anyone. He knew that was not the Lord. When the still small voice, he knew that was the Lord. So he knew that's not the Lord. This is not God. You know, there was someone that told me, he said, look, called me, he said, Shagun, told me a vision. He said, God said, as I was speaking, I just knew it wasn't God. So I smiled. And that was a big opportunity. I was supposed to teach in a Bible school, then I think a radio program. I just said, this was about 25 years ago. I said, it was just, you will know. And everybody here, I'm talking about you. You will know. You will know. Why we have problems recognizing, we'll get to that in a moment. You will know. I know I'll share with the pastors already. I'm going to share with you tonight. We are in a season that requires a lot of sensitivity. And, you know, you have to recognize this. I like something that Sinach said, one of our earlier seasons, said in life, there are seasons, times and seasons. And these are the kind of things what people sometimes don't want to hear. Say, no. Everything is now. Everything is now. Go and sit down. It's not true. There are times and seasons. And it's not about calendar year. It's about an emphasis. That God will have us have at this time. Times and seasons. There are things that are just, and in a local assembly, we have that, you know, universal vision, then we peek out of it. We'll see shortly. So you have the voice in the comms. And one thing I want you to know this, and I'm saying this to you from the world and personally, see, it's not difficult to recognize God's voice. It's because we have mystified it. That's why it looks like it's difficult. If you can recognize the word of God, taught in a service, then you know God's voice. Are you following what I'm saying? If you can recognize the you know the way somebody will teach that it's not God's voice, you say, no. That same way is how you know God's voice. That same way. Is how you know it. And the God was telling me about, now, of course, this is something many pastors are afraid of talking about. People's traveling out of the country. Well, I'm not afraid. I'm your pastor. But you know, when you see people that are, they don't think things through. People like, it's just anything that is trending. And I'll say something. Me and a pastor was talking about it, today that I said it then. I said, we are yet to see the full import of the lockdown. We are yet to see. It hasn't unraveled totally. Obviously, you know, there was, now the truth is this, the people not being in large numbers is of God because of the disease, you know, but somehow a different kind of Christianity emerged, and that's a danger. So somewhere in people's minds there's been restlessness since then. Restlessness, hopelessness. And if we recognize that fear, anxiety is spiritual, Even a psychologist cannot explain it. You can't go where you want to go to. You have to cover your nose. You have to do this one. There's just something that is, what's going on? A hopelessness. Before you know it, you begin to see hopelessness everywhere. Things are bad. This is when then there's the fear, you know, maybe your future is, somebody called me and said, where is this world heading to? I said, where? Which part of the world? He said, the way it's going. I'm seeing the timing by the Antichrist. I said, relax. I said, this has happened before in the world. I said, yes, but with the advancement of technology and science, man of God, I said, well, I don't know. I know. Unfortunately, many pastors were postulating to on TV, trying to describe a virus. And I'm thinking, I don't know. It's what they tell us. So, because you can't see virus in your Bible. Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. They have no understanding. So people are restless. Then, okay, we can work remotely. We can talk remotely. Then new friends, and he committed a lot of uprisings. People now develop new habits. I said, we're yet to unravel it. Fully. I come back to what I was talking about. You know, just have people say, it's just easy to now follow. Sorry, was not telling me that it was at that point that all these skits gained ground. People that, before the lockdown, they put their skin, just ignore it. But now you have nowhere to go. You have been looking at these kids. They will now increase the time for these kids. Then they infuse a lot of ideologies. People's hearts. That is why it is difficult for a believer to know whether God is talking to him or not. So something is just, the tempo of the voice of the world just increased. Woo! And then we are distracted. There's nothing God is saying newly. So, when a man like Elijah said, I'm the only one. There's nobody. I'm the only one. And Romans 11 now says in verse 1 to 3, I think verse 3, says the answer of God spoke to him. That's the Holy Spirit. The answer of God. It was a warning. The Greek word there typifies a warning. Romans 11. A revelation. It's not spectacular. And that's what the still small voice was called. A revelation. A warning. And he knew it. Imagine somebody saying that, Lord, I'm the only one. But another word, why did they use answer? This is very important and take notes. Whenever we are engaged in spiritual activities, fasting, praying, meditation, listen to what like you're doing like this, God responds to us. See your study of the word, your prayer, as seeking God. So every day you are seeking God in prayer. Every day you are seeking God in study. Every day you are seeking God listening to the word. He's always responding. He will respond. He will give an answer. And that answer is going to be a revelation. It's not spectacular. It's not spectacular. It could caution, warn, reveal. And that's what happened to Elijah. And when the answer comes, it would either, this is what I'm talking about, either contradict something you have been thinking about. And this is the danger of going to the world to look for what you want. Or it will clarify things for you. Or it would, in one way or the other, acknowledge what you have in your heart as of God. So, in seeking the Lord, at least that was what Elijah did. He sought the Lord. He sought him, and a response came. In our prayer, in our worship, study of scripture. So that's 1 Kings 19. Let me just give you that text so you can check it later. 1 Kings 19, 19:18. First Kings 19. I've been jealous for the loss of all of hosts. Verse 10. They seek my life. Then the Lord spoke to him in a still small voice. And told him, I have 70 people, 7,000, verse 18, that have not bowed. So he gave him direction. But at least he sought the Lord. Now Romans 11, what I was talking about earlier, now said it was the answer of God. The answer comes when you seek. Romans 11 verse 4, the answer came. So I receive God's answers. So when we seek, there's a response. Answer of God. A revelation knowledge. It doesn't have to be spectacular. In waiting on him, the answer came. So watch this. It's very easy to hear God. Particularly when you are not hearing. So that leads us to number four. I said number one, his voice is familiar. Number two, it's clear. There's nothing shady. You'll hear it. The way you are hearing me tonight is the way you're going to hear it. The fourth one, or the third, sorry, is direction. Now this is key. If you know this one, it will help you all days of your life. God's leading is about his own plan. So what those things you think is leading, that because something you like, something you want, you know, is about his plan. It's about his plan. It's about his plan. It doesn't lead us to confirm our desires. No. It's about his plan. His purpose. And finally, I could just put number four. The word and the spirit agree. Now, this is why going to a church where the word of God is taught is very critical. It will take all those mixture from you. Because you are hearing God's word. It clarifies what you have heard. The word and the spirit agree. I learned that from Brother Hagin. You know that there's nothing that the spirit of God will say to you that is not in the written word. That's why when Jesus came, everything he said, it is written. So Jesus himself submitted to the written word. Paul says in the law and the prophets. Every revelation submits to the written word. The word and the spirit agree. Are you following what I'm saying here? The word and the spirit, they agree. So when someone told me, I said, look, why did I know that my friend was not being led by the spirit? It was the word. I just said, this is wrong. He said, but he was going to leave school. He said, God told me how to leave school. I was in his final year, first semester. I said, ah. So I didn't say anything. He was going to leave school. That the Lord told him, and you know, he was not showing me some vision. He said, I was in that vision. I said, okay. As he finished talking, I said, what soul do you want to win that one semester is going to disturb? Ah. So I just called someone that was close to him. I said, get to his faculty. Go and check his results. Yeah. That's a renewed mind. I said, go and check his results. I said, what do you think? I said, go and check his results. This got me, I think it was senior shepherd or good shepherd. He said, I think good shepherd. I said, are you serious? I said, go and check his results. By the time they brought the carryover, was enough to do a diploma program. Why would God ask you to leave school? But you know they trusted, first of all, you just know. This is, you know, relax. Someone says, let's leave the country. I said, okay. You are led. You apply to Canada. They didn't give you. You apply to England. They didn't give you. You apply to South Africa. It's pending. That cannot be God leading you. Just agree. You see, if people can be very honest, if you come to me and say, Pastor, I'm under pressure, sir. Then we can pray. But you say, Pastor, I just sense. I said, what are you talking about? And I said, look, you say, God, you didn't lead to Sudan. It's always Canada, America. Just tell me you are going there to make money. All these are led for what? You are making things difficult. When we say God like that, you all keep quiet. because I'm still his son. But those are things, said no. I said, no, stop that. Look at what you have just done. How does this look like? She said, I'm so sorry. And she says, hey, sorry. A contrite heart. Someone came to meet me on going to the airport. He said, called me. He said, sir, I'm actually at the airport. I'm at the airport. Said, where are you going? In the ministry. He said, I'm going to UK. Ah. He said, are you going to watch your D? He said, no, sir. I didn't want to tell you. I didn't even know it was going to click. It has clicked. But the thing is that, actually, sir, I didn't want to tell you because it's not my passport. Say, whose passport? And somebody, let me forget that story. I mean, say, so I'm so sorry, sir. I know you find in your heart to forgive. You know I'm your daughter. You know I'm your, this one, I say. On the phone, no? I said, blessed be God. And I arranged, I said, look, don't put yourself under sign of pressure. There's a voice of God. Amen. Don't be under pressure. Peer pressure. The thing about peer pressure is that when they pressure, they not leave you alone. Anybody applying pressure will leave you when the pressure is on. You'll be on your own. So the word and the spirit, what? They agree. So let's get back to the thing I said last week. Basic things, Brother Hagin will call it how to train the human spirit. EWK was how to develop the human spirit. The same thing. First thing they teach is put the word first place. Put the word first place. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Put it first place. And the way Brother Hagin explained that is that you are going to the bank. The bank is going to close by 4 o'clock. Maybe it's a weekend. And you know, it's like Nigeria where you have like 3 holidays following themselves till next Wednesday. And there's no POS, there's no internet banking. I was going to enter the banking hall. It's closed by 4. It's 3:58. You know that illustration, if you're in Nigeria, you can say it anyway. You just call somebody inside and they move Nigeria. Many things don't work like that though. But let's think like Brother Hagin. So, so you want to enter the bank and then you see one old dumb you have seen about 30 years ago in secondary school or 30 some years ago and say, oh no, say, ah, ain't you me? My guy, where you there? You just look at it, 3:59. We go talk now. We go. So which means there's something else calling for your attention, but you go for the more important thing. Put the word first, please. And how do you do that? It will show in your devotion. It will show in what you listen to the most. See, guys, whether we like it or not, we have the media all around us. It's all around us. It's on our phones. It's everywhere. So our attention is already demanded. And demanded for. Put the word first. Second thing he says is meditate on the word. And meditation of the word is both deliberate and then as you go on in the day. There should be a time in the day you just sit down. Are you here? And as you are listening to a teaching, you can listen to something, you pause it, listen again, think about it again, you know, and you are prayerful. You must be deliberate about it. The third, he says to speak the word. That's why I was talking about singing. Don't just sing in the service. I say, I'm in the center of God's will for my life. You know, when you are alone, you don't sing it that way. When you mean it, you just, of my life. You're like, hey, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. When you are speaking the word in the song, when the robber has met the road, you say, oh my, forget key. Those of you who are here, you'll be singing auto. When you want to sing properly, you forget auto. You just turn your auto to bass. Ah, Lord my God. You are speaking God's word. In singing, you are just speaking God's word. And make it a practice to speak God's word consistently. Look at that song, I walk in the light. The entire song is a confession. It's something you can remove the music, the rhythm. You can just be saying it. I walk in the light. I'm not confused. I don't lose. I'm born of the word. For my spirit I'm led. I don't walk in darkness. And you say it so often. I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk. And you know, you should know how to respond. Know how to talk. You know how to talk. Some of us are too quick. We want results tomorrow morning. How? Look at how many years you have put unbelief in your mind. You can be speaking on what God wants to do to you in the next 10 years. And you are going to do it for at least 9 years. Just speaking God's word. I'm not confused. In the name of Jesus, I walk in the light. And you are deliberately doing it. Like Brother Copeland will say, it's not what you say in the service that matters. It's what you say afterwards. I sent somebody to me yesterday, I said, you are believing God for something. This is not the time to walk African magic. It's the truth. Yeah, because before you know it, you just put it on. And that thing you are believing God for something, you just say bad experience. Hey! Fear will just come. There are times and seasons. There are sometimes you just shut yourself in. Let people call you any names. Really conco, that's their business. It's just all that matters. What really matters is, you don't forget people, see people like results also. People like results. I'm telling you. I told you the other day, when 1 Corinthians 16, I mean, what is Corinthians doing here? 1 Samuel. See, I've rejected, you look at the outward. Man looks at the outward, I look at the heart. That's when Eliab was rejected. When they now saw David, what did they say? He's a fine guy. Why was that put in the picture? Look at the two. People like results too. Do you get it? And God will give you results. Because there's seed time and harvest. It's a law. He said you'll be fruitful. That's the result. Right?
Yes, sir.
But you know how a farmer pays attention to his work?
Yes, sir.
Pay attention. There are times you shut yourself in. Don't even tell anybody you are doing something. No, there's no need. Shut yourself in. And stay and say, look. You know the times I say, come and watch our favorite Telemundo. Telemundo, come. Potato. And I'll be watching Telemundo. Somebody just say, bah! Maybe you are believing God for healing. You just say, I saw someone in the hospital bed. Your mind will resonate. And he asked the doctor, will say, oh, this is, I don't remember what the doctor told you. Ah. Then you are seeing yourself in that telemundo. That's meditation. You just, and you put it up, you'll be waiting, hoping the guy will get up from the bed. Then you just, the doctor say, oh, sorry. You are just, that's just for hey. They were pastors preaching. They were divine healing. Telemundo. They what? My life. It looks funny, but it's not. That's what I was going to pray for. I got in the person's house. I just saw music. I said, what's this boy? Plantation Boys. Remedies. Ah. I didn't pray. Come and add my name to those who came to pray and nothing happened. I didn't pray. I said, be thankful. You're not serious. Plantation Boys. You don't know you're looking for. Remedy. You are believing God, but you are doing remedy. Are you here? You're the one that is looking for something. What you are thinking is not what I'm thinking. You can afford to be doing those to me. I'm working on something. And I must get it. I must get it. I must. Remember I told you story about Pastor Lau one time, where am I in there? She just called me. So something. Me, I didn't say, I just said, forget it, maybe it's just God. I just called to tell you. She just called the phone. So my friend was with me. I said, she told me something, I don't know, I don't know whether it's a, the guy just kept quiet. I wasn't going to release my faith for her. That's the truth. You know, or you have faith yourself. Imagine you now came to say, let's just be talking. What is wrong with me is not what is wrong with you. No matter how much we love each other. That's the truth. Is that clear? Stay on the word of God. So you speak the word. Lastly, Brother Higgin will say, instantly, obey the voice of the Spirit. I'll tell you something that a friend of mine said years ago. It's the word. But you know, there's a way someone will say something and it always helps me. Pastor Larry Amuson, he has so much remarkable impact in my life at that very age. And he said, you can't have all the light at once, but ensure that you walk in all the light that you have. I think that has changed my life. Say, you can't have everything. You keep learning. But you ensure that the light of what you have, you are walking in it. Many of us have information, we just have it for information's sake. Walk in all the light. Walk in the light. Walk in all the light that you have. And you know Jesus said that to who he that has, more will be given, right? So whatever you do with the light you have now, more will be given. But I'm going to get more light. No, I will. I will. I know for a good number of believers, some of us also here, you know, you got to a point where some things look a bit hazy. But be of good cheer. Be confident. One thing you must never show the devil. Never show the devil that you're afraid. The devil is afraid of you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Build confidence in the word.